to the can't stop singing. The Lord has come. Sister, let me tell you why the bells are ringing. The Lord has come. On this day in Bethlehem, there's a king in a manger, no room in the inn. The wise men seek him, the shepherds too. Born for me and you, come on, join the angels. Singing glory to God in the highest. Join the angels, shouting peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's been a long time coming, but he's the one we waited for, yeah. So join the angels and praise the Lord. Your heart tired of all it's hurting, well, go on and lay it down. On this day in Bethlehem, there's a king in a manger, no room in the inn. Bringing hope to the poor, strength to the weak, he's come to set us free. Come on, join the angels, singing glory to God in the highest. Join the angels, shouting peace on earth, goodwill to men. Join the angels and praise the Lord. Join the angels. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God. His name will be called Prince of Peace. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Listen. On this day in Bethlehem, there's a king in a manger, no room in the inn. The wise men seek him, the shepherds too. Born for me and you, come on, join the angels, singing glory to God in the highest. Join the angels, shouting peace on earth.
Good morning, everyone. God is good. Amen. Let's really thank the Lord, shall we? So good to see you this morning. How were they incredible? What a wonderful job. You know, welcome to Calvary Chapel this morning, you in the overflow area, you that are tuning in live, so good to have each and every one of you today. And listen, while I'm talking, we forgot to do something because we were so enamored with the kids program, we didn't take up an offering. So you guys, let's come forth. And also, today's Love Never Fails Sunday, so this is when we take up an offering for our children in Mexico, the homes that we build. So we're going to kind of proceed quickly. Would you take mine as well, gentlemen? Our regular tithes and offerings this morning. So forgive us. We don't do multiple offerings at Calvary Chapel unless it's requested. But since this is Love Never Fails Sunday, they will be coming back down because there are people that are prepared to give to the orphanage and to the homes that we build in Mexico and give them away free. God is so good. So when it comes back through the next time, that's for the orphanage. So the Lord bless you. And I'm going to tell you about these announcements. First of all, before I do all of that, let me just say this. I really want to give thanks to Don. She's our lighting technician. She's the one who designed all the lighting. What a great job she did, to do all of that. And of course, you know, Danielle and Teresa, Heather, Kevin, everybody that did all the special things that they did. You know, whether you know it or not, this is our 24th annual Christmas program, and the children's director was back in the very first Christmas service that we had 24 years ago. She's now the kids' church director, amen? So that's just a wonderful history there, you know. So anyway, they did a wonderful job. So good to see everybody this morning. Welcome, and a lot of things happening. If you're with the seniors this morning, the Grace Connection Luncheon is right after this service. It's going to be in the cafe. And also tonight, there's going to be the Ladies Ornament Exchange. It's 6:30 p.m. this evening. It will be in the cafe as well. They're asking, says, please bring a wrapped ornament and a dish to share. Also, the share groups this week are canceled, Becky Carlson's and Josh and Tiffany's. And also next Sunday, of course, December the 24th, we'll have our two normal services. They will both be identical. We will be celebrating communion, but we will also, that is our Christmas sermon, will be delivered on the 24th. So I hope that you're able to attend one of those. And also Wednesday, the December 27th, which is the last Wednesday of this year, there's no service that night. So make a mental note of it. So if you come, just we'll pray in the parking lot. Amen. Also, this is wonderful. You know, this year is already over. There's a possibility that Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, that we're going to be starting a school. And there's going to be an interest meeting January the 7th at 12:15 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. And you can RSVP by this meeting by going onto the website, or if you have the Calvary Chapel app, you can do it that way, or you can just simply call the office and let Merlinda know that you'll be attending. And then we have a wonderful family moving in from a Calvary to Texas from California, Mary Jean and John Dennis. They'll be arriving at the beginning of this year. They have about five kiddos in their family, I mean five total, and they need a place to stay as their home is being, I think, built. I'm not for sure, but maybe for 3 weeks or whatnot. And if you're interested in helping them out, then you can just contact the church office for more information. And this is really a special thing right here. Scott and Amy Richardson, they have a tradition that they brought from their Calvary Chapel back east, and it says they're opening up their home Christmas Day for this church here, the church family, serving Christmas dinner on Christmas Day. So, isn't that a blessing? Yeah. It says, please email info@loveneverfails.com, or you can contact the office for more information. The Lord willing, and I pray that He is, the New Year's sermon, which I pray that you are definitely, I hope you're in town for that, that I'm hoping to teach that message on Sunday, January 7th. So that'll be our new year, the new word, the word that God has given us for 2018. I hope you're there for that. With all that being said, did the Love Never Fails offering, was that taken up? It was? Okay. And then make sure you grab mine after the service. Okay, guys? Oh, it wasn't taken up. We're very organized here. We're one of the most organized churches. You should have been last Sunday. Well, the Lord bless you. Now I was getting ready to pray. Now I'm going to have to beg, right? Are you ready for Christmas? Amen. God is so good. Amen. Listen, while the offering is being passed out, I'll pray in just a moment when I read you the text, this morning's text. We're going to have a short sermon because of all the time that's already been taken, so I won't keep you long, I promise. No more than an hour, maybe two, as usual. But, you know, I read an interesting article yesterday. We're only 8 days away from Christmas, and, of course, this year, 2017, is nearly over. 2018 is fast approaching. But I read this article, and I'm not being critical of what the individual said. It was in, I think, the New York Times is where I read it. But let me just read this to you, if you don't mind. It says, 10 ways to get into the holiday spirit. And the writer of the article says this. He says, you know, I struggled to feel any excitement about the holidays. I resolved to avoid the irritating aspects of the holidays in order to return to the holiday spirit. It worked after I compiled a list of ways to find the holiday spirit in 2017. Now, here are 10 of those things. He says, pace your holiday shopping. In other words, he's saying, shop, you know, set it up for every other day so you keep in the spirit that way. That never helped me, but it might help you, okay? Go shopping with people who don't care for shopping. Well, that's a joy to the world right there, you know. I wonder if that person's name was Scrooge or something. I'm not for sure. The third thing is that sing holiday music often. Even if you don't sing, or even if you don't like it, sing it anyway. If I hear Blue Christmas one more time, thank you very much. Now, you know, one of the best parts of the children's play, I don't know if you caught it or not, is when the smoke machine came on again and that kid went, really? That's so... I said, amen, you know. That's a fire and brimstone Christmas, I tell you. All right. What number am I on here? Okay, number four. Don't even try parking near the front of the mall. Number five, spark a decorating competition with your neighbors. Dominate them with your over-the-top light-up Santa in your front yard. Number six, gather plenty of holiday movies and have a movie marathon. If I can't watch It's a Wonderful Life again, you know what I'm saying? I'm only 40 years old, so you imagine how many times I've seen. Number eight, number seven. Start a holiday tradition by caroling a flash mob in an odd location. To prepare, I suggest that you warm up to Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Let's go to number nine. I'll skip number eight because I don't understand number eight at all. Number nine, make up silly holiday games to play with your family and friends. In other words, have you ever run from Santa's reindeer or play pin the beard on Santa? Number 10, thank God for the last one. Aren't you glad you came to Calvary this morning? Bake holiday cookies and deliver them to your local coffee shop. After all, the best way to have cheer is to spread cheer. Now, with all of that being said, the individual who wrote that article, do you know that he is very sincere in what he just did? He wasn't trying to make fun. He's really being serious. And millions of people in our nation read that. And, you know, it saddens me, even though they're so sincere. I'm not criticizing this individual in the least. But, see, that's not what Christmas is about. We don't have to, how do I get into the holiday spirit? I'm already in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. The Spirit's already alongside of me, amen? Every day's a holiday with Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Absolutely. And so it just saddens me because, see, they don't know, but we know why we are going to do something on the 25th. We're going to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At least most of the world, not all of the world, will at least be in some form of unity and in agreement on that day. Aren't you glad this morning that you know that on Christmas, and listen, I love to celebrate Christmas. You know what I'm saying? No, it was a smoke. No, you know, when I celebrate Christmas, what I always did when Thomas was growing up is that we would open the Bible to Luke chapter 2 and we would read the Christmas story, and I would always say, son, mom, it's not, as we all know, it's not about Christmas presents, but about his presence. Amen. That Jesus came into the world. He came into the world to be born only to die for our sins. I thank God for that. You know, so when we start thinking about all these things, I mean, you know, we're not going to wake up on the 26th and go, gosh, is that all there is to life? And, you know, we're kind of empty and our credit cards are maxed out. We don't do those things. Amen? No. You see how I corrected you in love? Yeah. No, listen to me. I mean, what are you going to do with that chia pet? You know? No. They treat the world that we live in now, they treat Christmas as a holiday. It's the happy holidays, the holiday presents, holiday greetings, and you know, holiday tree, and all the rest of the stuff. Well, Christmas is not a holiday. Christmas is a supernatural event to where our Savior came into this world and changed our world forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? A supernatural birth. Now, with all that being said, I'm just going to share a few scriptures this morning. If you have your Bible, please open it, or your iPad or your phone, whichever you, however you do it today. And I want you to go to 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, and let's begin in verse 7. This is a Christmas story here, if you don't know it or not. It says in verse 7, John writes to us, the aged apostle says this, "Beloved, let us love one another." Boy, that is that a good word for Christmas? Amen. Love one another with all of our hearts. Be good one to another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's a sign that of the true believer, okay? He who does not love does not know God. And here it is. For God is love, meaning God's kind of love. You know, God is love. I'm so thankful that we have the only true religion in the world, amen, and that our God is a compassionate, loving God, and that word for love, agape, of course, is a love that is completely uncaused, an unconditional love. He doesn't, it's not because we are in church every Sunday or because we're great tithers or we don't tithe or we serve or we don't serve. God loves you. You cannot change the love of God. It's a love that is just simply given, and it requires nothing from the individual. Do you know that? See, God loves you. He loves everyone. You know, as I was watching the children this morning, I didn't have that in my life. You know, being up there at a church, I wasn't saved until, you know, I was about 20 some odd years old. And I was thinking, what great memories you have, your moms, the dads, the grandparents, or whatever, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, to see all the children and the memories that they have and the pictures that you've taken or videos or whatever. What a wonderful thing to have a mother and a father who raises their children in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I applaud you for that, and I'm thankful for you, and I'm so thankful that you raise your children that way in the admonition of the Lord. But God is love. And then in verse 9, he says, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. What a true word. If you look at verse 9 with me, in this the love of God was manifested. That word manifested means God's love was brought out into the public. God's love was made visible. And we know how God's love was made visible to the world. A babe in a manger. Amen? He sent his only son to be born, to die for our sins. Praise the Lord for that. Listen, I mean, what a night that must have been. There, can you imagine being the shepherds out in the open fields that night, and all of a sudden the angels started singing, a multitude of heavenly hosts, it says in Luke's gospel, and they started singing, remember what they said? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. We don't have any peace today. There never has been peace, but it's peace on earth and goodwill toward men. You know, the reason that they were singing that and sharing that with the shepherds is because of Luke chapter 2, verse 11, which says, for there was born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You know, God is always the initiator, isn't he? He's the one who reaches out. He's the one who gave. It wasn't us. We weren't seeking the Lord. Jesus came to seek and save those who are lost. There's nothing greater than our Lord. How he loves us. How he sent Jesus to die for us, to be born of a virgin. You know all the Christmas story just as well as I do. But this love of God was manifested toward us, it says, when Jesus was born. And here's why. Because we had a debt that we could never pay. The world, mankind, had a debt they could never pay, and that's called sin. And so it says, whenever the angel was appeared in a dream, remember that Joseph, when Joseph was dreaming, he appeared to him, and he told Joseph, he said this to Joseph in the dream. In Matthew 1:21, it says, and she, Joseph, she's going to bring forth a son, meaning Mary, and you shall call his name Savior. That's what Jesus means. His name means Savior, which implies his mission, okay? And it says, and he will save his people, here it comes, from their sins. Aren't you glad that now that you're in Christ, your sins have been taken away? You know, it says in 1 John 3:5, and it says in the Bible in 1 John 3:5, and you know that he was, here comes that word again, manifested, made visible, brought out into the public. He was manifested to do something, to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And then in 1 John 3:8, he goes down, and he was manifested, our Lord, to take, to defeat the devil, to take away and render him totally inoperative. Now, with all of that being said, we were born that we might live. Jesus was born to die. That's unbelievable, isn't it, in a way? The Bible tells us in Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, and he, meaning God the Father, and he made him, meaning Jesus the Son, sin. He made him sin, who knew no sin. And the purpose was that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ our Lord, in Christ Jesus. Man, listen, to have perfect right standing with God. That is unbelievable, isn't it? That's our position that we have, all because of Christmas. That's our position that we have right now. We are in right standing with God. Now, in our practice, we blow it sometimes, don't we? But you know what? We can go to the Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, our sins have been taken away because of the birth of our Lord. Well, let me back that up. No, not because he was born. That didn't take away our sins, did it? Jesus had to bore the penalty of our sin upon the cross. Remember what John the Baptist shouted? He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I cannot imagine how Jesus must have felt. I mean, he's the God-man, remember? John 1:14, the Word became flesh, became one of us, and dwelt or tabernacled among us. I mean, can you imagine being God and there you are in human flesh, of course, without sin? Everything he did was absolutely perfect in his life. Perfect, without sin completely. Can you imagine how it must be for the God man, 100% man, 100% God, I mean, to walk on grass that he's created? Think about that for a moment. It always blows me away. I don't have any way to explain any of that, but I know this, that God loves us so much that he proved his love. Romans 5:8 tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. He took our place while we were dead in trespasses and sins, and now he has made us alive in Christ Jesus. Loved one, listen to me. You know, sometimes when we, if we disobey the Lord, it grieves our heart. We know we're wrong. But you know, Jesus, or John, the Bible tells us that if we go to the Lord and if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse them. Amen. Always run to the Lord. Be quick to repent. Always do that way. The Lord loves us so much. And you know, the fact of the matter is, what separated us from God has been totally and completely forgiven you and forgiven me. I am so thankful. That is the greatest, that's all I need for Christmas. Amen. That's what it's all about. So the love of God was manifested, as Sarah, in that verse toward us. And it says that God sent, and that is a very important word. He sent his son, his unique son, his only begotten son, no one like him. Now listen, if the last time I checked, I have never received a baby in the mail. You understand? It says he was sent. Well, babies are born into the world. You know, but he was sent, and that word means that Jesus was before time ever existed. He is the eternal one. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus has always been. He's always been. And now God sent him, meaning there was a plan, and that was to become one of us. One of the great scriptures in the Bible that Paul penned through the power of the Holy Spirit is found in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Let me read it to you. It says, but when the fullness of time had come, that fullness of time means the exact perfect moment in history, which means it's not an accident, okay? Jesus wasn't an accident, man. No, the fullness of time had come. Here it comes. God sent forth his son. And then it tells us how he arrived. He was born of a woman, meaning the virgin birth. And he was born, it says, under the law to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now listen, Christmas, you know this and I know this, but let me remind you, Christmas is not about you. Christmas is not about me. Christmas, we celebrate it because of what God has done for us, amen, in Jesus Christ our Lord. So there it says that he was born of a woman, and he was born under the law. You know, Jesus lived under the law of Moses, just like he was a Jew. He kept all the feasts. He went to the tabernacle, attended all the things that he was supposed to do. But you know what? A baby arrived on this planet to do what no other one had ever done, and that is to keep God's law perfectly. Perfectly. Everything Jesus did, he had a perfect life, perfect humanity. Listen, I look at that. The only person that was ever born of a woman, only one person out of every person ever born, was one that perfectly pleased God in everything he did. Imagine that. I mean, from the moment Jesus came, of course, he's without sin. He's a sinless son of God. He never made a mistake. He was never wrong. He never judged someone the wrong way. He never had a vile thought in his mind. Everything that Jesus did, the Bible says, pleased the Father. Everything. Aren't you glad that you're in him? Because if you're in him, that means God is pleased. Amen? Now, so he kept the law. You know, we've broken the law, but he kept all of it. And he did so for a purpose, to redeem us. He came to redeem us out of slavery, to get us off the auction block, if you will, and never to be sold again. We're purchased. We're his purchased possession. And then he did something else. It says that we might receive the adoption, it says there in Galatians where I'm reading from, as sons. Now listen, I've said this before. Mark, I don't want to use your brother, you know. If I adopted you, I could give you my last name. I could, there's no money in the bank, but it would be yours. You understand? You know, and my home, would everything, it's all yours. I adopted you. You can have everything. But the one thing I can't give you is that I can't give you my nature. You see what I mean? Because you came from someplace else. However, when God adopted us, we are now partakers of his divine nature. Amen? Listen, Jesus lives in us. We're born from above. We have been adopted. Do you know in Roman days, and I know we don't have much time, so I'm going to marry this down. In Jesus' day, you know what the Romans did? You remember the toga? Toga. Yeah, not toga. That's Texas talk. You got a nice toga, buddy. No. What was it called again? Toga. Listen, I'm just as stressed as y'all are, all right? No. They would take the Roman dad, he adopted the son, he would take his toga off and wrap it around his son. It wasn't from his family, but the absolute moment that he did that, he declared his son a full heir into his family. Now listen carefully. When that happened, no matter what the son had done previously, no matter if he was indebted, no matter whatever, doesn't matter. Everything was completely wiped away and no one could ever press charges again. Do you understand? It's just as if he had never done anything wrong. Now listen, we were adopted and we were taken out of the Adams family, you know what I mean? And we were placed now into the family of God. And guess what? Everything, all the handwriting of the sins that are written against us, they have been nailed to the cross. Jesus paid it all. Why? Because he was born to die for you and for me. Oh, loved one, listen, old things have passed away. Behold, all things now become new. And then that last one, the purpose, it says that we might live through him. Are you living? I talked yesterday to a man in Florida, the one who led me to the Lord. And I said, Michael, how are you doing? He says, I'm getting old. And I said, well, are you living? He says, barely. And I said, brother, you need to live. And there's only one way to live, and that is through Christ Jesus. Amen? I mean, with all of our hearts. Man, I just thank God, you know, that we can live through him. Jesus was born, went to the cross, went back to heaven, paid all the penalty of our sins. Why? That we might live eternally with God the Father in all of heaven forever and ever and ever, eternally. But also that we might live right now. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. Real living, real life, my kind of life, Jesus said. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus had absolutely nothing to gain by leaving heaven. We had everything to gain when Jesus left heaven. Amen. Oh, to live through the Lord. Again, Jesus was manifested for you. And it wasn't his life that saved us and washed away our sins. It was his dying upon the cross. That is what paid the penalty of our sins. You know, to live through him. No wonder Paul the Apostle, when he said in Galatians, remember, he says, I have been, past tense, crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. He's not saying I'm trying to lead a godly life. He wasn't even implying that he was trying to live Jesus' way. No, he said, listen, I died. I've been crucified with my Lord. Amen? And he said, now, the life that I live, oh man, it is Christ who lives in me. And I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. No wonder Paul the Apostle, he cried out. What did he say? He says, for me to live is Christ. In my prayer time the other day, I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, for me to live, can I say that? For me to live, is it Christ? Oh, search me, Lord. Is there any wicked way in me? Oh, Lord, help me. Can I say what Paul said? For me to live on this earth. You said that we might live through you. Lord, tell me, can I say what Paul said? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Maybe you should ask yourself that, Christian. for you to live is what? I mean, we live in a world today where it's get all you can, as fast as you can, as much as you can. You know, if we want this and we want that, oh, listen, for us, the church, if we rose up and said, listen, for Calvary Chapel to live is Christ. You see, if Jesus manifested himself for you, he manifested himself for you so you could manifest himself to the world. Amen? That's what it's all about. And the only way we can do that is to live through him. Listen, I know that the greatest thing you can do for our Lord, somebody told me yesterday or called, what can I give Jesus for Christmas? And I immediately told that person, I said, if you really want to give Jesus something for Christmas, like the wise men when they brought gifts, here's what you need to do. You need to go open your Bible to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where Paul the apostle writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself as a living sacrifice unto God. That is the greatest thing you can do for Jesus. Amen. In other words, present. That's a picture of an Old Testament priest laying the sacrifice on the altar, totally on the altar, letting it be totally consumed, that burnt offering, burnt all the way up, nothing left. In other words, give all your heart to the Lord. Let him manifest his life through you and live for him. See, if you really want to live, his life has to live through you. That's when he'll use you to change people's lives, change the world that you live in. There's the greatest thing that we can do. Not die for the Lord. He wants you to live for the Lord. I know that at Christmas time, maybe you're estranged from some of your family, or maybe you've lost a loved one or a spouse, those that are dear to you. Maybe you're alone. Maybe you've, I pray not, but maybe you've just gone through a horrible divorce. You've been deserted by your husband or your wife. And I know that in your heart you feel the loneliness and the bitterness of that. May I say that's okay to feel that? You see, because the Bible teaches us that the Lord is near unto the brokenhearted. He's right there for you. He's ready to mend you. He's ready to put you back together. He's ready to restore you, because that's what God does. I pray that you remember, like it says in Isaiah, you know, in 9:6, I believe it is, where he says, for unto us a child is given. Amen? That's speaking of his humanity. And unto us a son is given. A son speaks of his deity. It was given not only for Israel, because that's to whom it was written, but it was written for us as well. I think we have 15 days left in this year. Life is very short. I know that those who are listening live, maybe you're here today, and oh, those in the overflow area, you know what? Listen to me now. If you don't know Jesus, he wants to manifest himself to you. He wants to save you because he died for something that you couldn't pay for, and that is your sin. He wants to draw you so close to your heart. He wants to save you. The personal living relationship. The Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, God will save you. If you really believe that and really say it and mean it, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Save me. Manifest yourself to me. Forgive me. He will do so right this minute. You don't need stained glass for that. You don't need a choir singing. You just need a heart that says, I want Jesus to be my Lord. For there is no other way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one can make it to heaven without Jesus. He's the only way. Jesus was manifested for you. That's what Christmas is all about. Loved one, listen, from Rebecca and myself, from our heart to your home, we bid you a Christ-centered Christmas, a safe Christmas. If you're not going to be with us next week, I pray your travels, whether it's by air or however you're going to travel, that it's perfectly safe. Amen? Listen, live. Live. love old Uncle Joe that you can't stand if you're getting together with the family. You understand? Uncle Joe's the one who has the bad mouth, the foul mouth. The kids are there and you say, don't listen to him, don't listen to him. I know you don't have families like that. That's only me, right? Pray before you go. Ask the Lord to make it the most peaceful, blessed Christmas with your family that you've ever had. That's my prayer for you, that you have a Christ-centered Christmas. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for those that are here today. But Lord, I tell you, I celebrate our children. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for all the hard workers, Lord, the media team, and just all the people that worked so hard month after month to put this thing together so the parents could see their little ones and be so proud. Oh, Lord, thank you for creating precious memories in this place called Calvary Chapel. I pray, Lord, over the congregation now. If they're traveling, keep them safe. Bring them back, Lord, and as safely as you've taken them. And, Lord God, we love you. We love you with all of our heart. We draw nigh unto you, Lord. Therefore, we know you're drawing nigh unto us. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus now. And the church says, amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? If you're a first-time visitor, listen, I'm going to be departing to the main lobby. There's a welcome center there. They have a free gift for you. Not a Corvette, but it is a free gift. We're going to sing to the Lord. If you need prayer when the song is over, there'll be people here to pray with you and for you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. I love you dearly. Merry Christmas.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He is so good. Bless you and keep you. Have a wonderful Christmas and a great day. Let's give him thanks as we leave today. God bless you.